down. The riot served as a catalyst for civil rights, leading to the founding of the NAACP. The National Park Service will now work with the local community to develop and preserve the site and welcome visitors. Kristen Wright, NPR News, Washington.
Father and son duo Eugene Levy and Dan Levy are about to make history when they host the Emmy Awards. The pair who cleaned up at the 2020 Awards appeared remotely due to the pandemic. Eugene Levy also isn't just a co-host. He's nominated for his series The Reluctant Traveler. The Emmys air September 15th. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their travel card, Venture. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation at rwjf.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Music Alliance's Mixmaster Music Conference, September 7th at Lawrence Public Library. Music industry workshops and panels, as well as a health clinic. Tickets at mixmaster2024.com.
30% chance of showers and storms this evening, partly cloudy after midnight with a slight chance of showers and storms. Lows tonight in the upper 60s. It's 87 degrees in Lawrence. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, 90.3 FM in Chanute. You can always listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Still another 42 minutes or so of All Things Considered. We'll have an update of news headlines at 6:30. In this next half hour, we will get the details of a terrible murder in Hebron. We will also talk about some of the newest music being released this week with our new Music Friday feature. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Wheatfields Bakery and Cafe, featuring artisan breads baked daily in a wood-fired oven, breakfast and dessert pastries, as well as breakfast and lunch. Located at 904 Vermont Street in downtown Lawrence. Online at wheatfieldsbakery.com.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, a 30% chance of showers and storms this evening, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and storms after midnight, lows in the upper 60s. Atmospheric conditions have changed a bit throughout the day. Earlier today, they were saying, no big deal really about these. But now getting word that here in eastern Kansas, some of these storms, if they do crop up, could be strong to severe. So make sure you stay tuned to KPR throughout the night.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
It's 89 degrees in Topeka. It is 87 in Lawrence, 87 in Manhattan as well, 88 in Atchison, 94 in Chanute. Seeing some rain there. The time is 6:20.
But he says there's a deeper layer to the movie that goes beyond the plot twists.
This is a movie about communication, not a movie about ghosts. And that's where I think the real horror and emotion comes from.
I'm Adrian Ma. That's on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on your KPR stations for Weekend All Things Considered.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri customers since 1982, offering testing and solutions for mold, lead, and asbestos problems. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming up next. It's 89 degrees in Topeka, 87 here in Lawrence. The time is 6:30.
News, I'm Adrian Andrews.
This is NPR News. In Washington.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Lawrence police have seized hundreds of fentanyl pills. Police say more than 800 of the pills were confiscated from a suspected drug dealer last week, on the same day that 33 pounds of methamphetamine and 1.26 pounds of cocaine were seized. Both incidents presumably took place on August 7th and were apparently not related. Police did not say why they waited until yesterday to announce news of the second bust. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach has submitted a brief urging the U.S. Supreme Court to reinstate an Arizona law requiring proof of citizenship when registering to vote. Zane Irwin reports.
The Republican National Committee wants the U.S. Supreme Court to revive Arizona's 2022 law, which a lower court has blocked. If the Supreme Court upholds the law, that could open the door for similar registration requirements across the country. In 2018, a federal judge struck down a similar provision in Kansas, arguing that proof of citizenship requirements burdened tens of thousands of potential registered voters. The law's supporters say it's needed to prevent non-citizens from voting in elections, though there is not significant evidence of voter fraud. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
The Kansas City Royals are quietly evaluating a potential new site for a baseball stadium, Washington Square Park, that's between Union Station and Crown Center. Mayor Quinton Lucas and other officials have remained in talks with the Royals to keep the team in Kansas City, Missouri. Lucas says the city would consider ways to pay for a new ballpark without putting it to a public vote.
I don't think, however, that means that there is no public engagement, that there aren't public meetings, that there isn't a truly public process.
Jackson County, Missouri voters in April overwhelmingly rejected a measure renewing a stadium sales tax for the Royals and Chiefs. In response, the Kansas legislature passed a financing package aimed at luring both teams across the state line. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and storms after midnight. Lows tonight in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly clear but humid with a low in the mid 60s. It's 6:35.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From NPR News, we're talking about what you're talking about.
Beyonce is not only revealing black cowboy culture, she's transforming country music forever.
Trying to understand the world.
What does this ceasefire proposal say?
And sometimes, annoying Jerry Seinfeld.
Are you seriously asking that?
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Morning Edition airs from 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, 89.9 FM in Atchison, lots of other frequencies as well, all listed for you online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Health Foundation, empowering Kansans to collaborate on a variety of challenges to make the state a healthier place to live. Ways to engage are at kansashealth.org.
Stay tuned. We have a few more minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. At 7 o'clock, you will hear our special from the BBC Proms. Special broadcast that we will have for the next several weeks tonight. The featured piece is Mahler's Fifth Symphony. Everyone loves that one. Coming your way tonight at 7 o'clock on your KPR1 stations. If you're joining us on KPR2, stay tuned for Snap Judgment, which will be followed through the night by news from the BBC World Service.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire Street, downtown Lawrence. April through November, rain or shine. Find Lawrence Farmers Market on Facebook for more information.
It's 87 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
More at iu.edu. From Visit St. Pete Clearwater, Florida, where fall color seekers can find miles of sugary white sand beaches and emerald green gulf waters, as well as fiery red, orange, and yellow sunsets. More at visitspc.com. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Hi, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv, Ukraine. Wherever the story takes us, NPR does whatever it takes to get the story right. This is NPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Lawrence Community Orchestra, a local ensemble providing an experience where people of all backgrounds celebrate and share music together, encouraging pride in the Lawrence community. Details at lawrenceorchestra.org.
Stay tuned. Coming up next, broadcast from the BBC Proms, we will be hearing the Halle Orchestra and Choirs performing the symphony that changed Gustav Mahler's life, the great outpouring of defiance, exasperation, and all-embracing love that is his Symphony No. 5. It is coming up in less than a minute right here on KPR. Stay with us. Mostly cloudy skies in the forecast for this evening and into tonight. We do have a 30% chance of showers and storms this evening. If you do see any crop up, it's possible they could be strong to severe. We are seeing a storm moving north of Eureka down in Greenwood County right now. Everything is sort of tracking toward Chanute, so be aware of that. Sunshine tomorrow, though, highs in the upper 80s. It's 87 degrees in Lawrence. It's 7:01.
This is Symphony Cast from APM, American Public Media. I'm Steve Seal. We're back again this week at the largest classical music festival in the world, the BBC Proms. From July through September, music fans enjoy 8 weeks of extraordinary music making with concerts of orchestra, choral, and chamber music held chiefly at London's Royal Albert Hall. If you're a music lover who is new to classical music, the Proms is the perfect place to start exploring. In fact, the founder of the Proms, Sir Henry Wood, had just that in mind. He wanted this festival to be accessible to the masses. And to this day, it still holds true to that mission. And with that mission, established all those years ago, comes the central tone of the Proms festival. Enjoyment, happiness, fun. Even when serious or weighty music is being played, you can hear the excitement of the audience by their always enthusiastic responses of cheers and roaring applause. It's no wonder the Proms is known worldwide as the greatest celebration of classical music there is, one looked forward to every year by thousands of attendees and millions of radio and online listeners around the world, including you today. So, what does prom mean in this context? Well, we're not talking about the dance that comes at the end of your senior year in high school, although both of those words do share the same origin. Promenades, which for this English festival refers to the fact that the original concerts over a century ago were held outdoors. These days, the Royal Albert Hall is the venue, but the festival and casual spirit remains. This time, the music is a bit more serious, but as you'll no doubt hear, the prommers in attendance will lap it up with the same boisterous enthusiasm as they always do. On the program, just two works. First, the Proms premiere of contemporary Scottish composer Sir James Macmillan's Timotheus, Bacchus, and Cecilia, which will feature the full combined forces of the Halle Orchestra and Choir, Youth Choir, and Children's Choir. And then for the second half, Gustav Mahler's towering Symphony No. 5, scored for vast instrumental forces, both works led by the Halle's conductor emeritus, Sir Mark Elder. A concert on a grand scale from the 2024 BBC Proms. Welcome to APM's Symphony Cast. Let's take our seats in the Royal Albert Hall and turn things over to Martin Handley from the BBC.
I've been presenting BBC Proms for BBC World Service and Radio 3 for a quarter of a century or more, and every season, my first visit of the year to this building gives me goosebumps. Hello and welcome to the Royal Albert Hall for a concert in which the family of Halle Orchestra and Choirs says farewell to Sir Mark Elder, who's been music director in Manchester for the past quarter of a century. ranged round the Albert Hall organ are the Halley Choir, Youth Choir and Children's Choir, all told some 320 voices. They're here to give the London premiere of Sir James Macmillan's Timotheus, Bacchus and Cecilia, setting words by the late 17th century poet John Dryden from his Alexander's Feast. James says he was struck by the breadth and ambition of the poem to explore the transformative nature of music from a number of different angles.
The poem is very big, so I focused on three elements, and in fact three characters who summed up this power of music, which was the subtitle of Dryden's poem, and they are Timotheus, Bacchus and Cecilia. The work is a single through composed work lasting about 20 minutes, but clearly in three sections. There's a Timotheus section where this character is explored, and he was the musician associated with Alexander the Great. Then Bacchus, this strange, ambiguous figure, usually associated with drink, but there's a dark hinterland in Bacchus's story about slaughter and war.
This is Alexander in Persepolis, isn't it?
Exactly, and in fact Dryden is referencing the slaughter in Persepolis. So there's a dark side to Bacchus, which I think is explored in the central part of the piece, and then finally the mood turns, the music turns towards Cecilia herself for the final section.
James Macmillan. Well, the leader of the Halley Orchestra, Roberto Luisi, is already on stage. He tuned the orchestra. And we're just waiting for Mark Elder to give his final prom as music director of the Halley. And here he comes, joining the massed Halley forces on the Royal Albert Hall stage to conduct the London premiere of James Macmillan's Timotheus, Bacchus and Cecilia.
Thank you. a final serene chord after all the noise at the end of James McMillan's Timotheus, Bacchus and Cecilia, which has been given its London premiere here in the Royal Albert Hall to open tonight's prom, live, of course, here on BBC Radio 3, with the Halle Choir, Choral Director Matthew Hamilton, the Halle Youth Choir, Director Stubert Overington, the Halle Children's Choir, directed by Shirley Court, and the Halle Orchestra, conducted by Mark Elder. And not to forget leader Roberto Ruiz's beautiful violin solo. Mark, the supreme conductor of voices, not least the red-shirted members of the children's choir. And that yell from audience and, I think, choristers alike for Sir James McMillan. I think everybody rather liked that. James said he wanted to write a piece that showed off the pyramid of Halle choirs created in Mark's time and show off the virtuosity of the orchestra too. Matthew Hamilton, Stuart Overington and Shirley Court, our chorus masters, back on stage, or rather on stage, bringing their three choirs to their feet. 320 voices, we reckon. And what a sound, particularly that children's choir makes. Huge hug between Mark Elder and James McMillan, who is trying to get his orchestra to his feet, saying, he's not watching, as Roberto Ruiz finally responds. James McMillan says, the poem's final suggestion that music might be a sacred thing of heavenly concerns is an idea that will never fade, being as vital now as it was in the eras of Timotheus, Alexander and Cecilia, as well as in the time of Dryden and Handel, who set a libretto based on the poem in 1736. James's vocal music always special. He's writing a big piece in 12 movements for the 16 and a small orchestra called Angels Unawares, premiere in 2026. And he says that Mark is leaving all the performing groups of the Halle in extraordinarily good health, a real family. And that piece we heard certainly celebrates that family.
And the family that is the Halle Orchestra will bid farewell to their conductor emeritus, Sir Mark Elder, with one grand finale performance here at the Proms in just a moment, as Elder leads the Halle in the Symphony No. 5 by Gustav Mahler, just around the corner, here on SymphonyCast. I'm Steve Seal. SymphonyCast is in London this week at the 2024 BBC Proms, one of the largest and longest-running classical music festivals in the world. You can hear this concert again from our website, but do it soon because you'll only have access to the Proms concerts for a few weeks. Just go to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. And from our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. Again, that's yourclassical.org/symphonycast. Stay close as we return to the Royal Albert Hall with Mahler in just a moment on APM's SymphonyCast.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and we're always online for you at kansaspublicradio.org. You're listening to the BBC Proms. They'll be more in just a moment. Thanks for joining us on a Friday evening. Don't forget, you can listen again to the BBC Proms over at yourclassical.org/symphonycast for a short time. You know that creating a legacy in public radio is as easy as adding KPR to your will and becoming a member of the Dick Wright Legacy Society. A bequest can help ensure our on-air service will continue for years to come. For more information, visit legacy.kansaspublicradio.org. 30% chance of showers tonight in northeast and east central Kansas. Cloudy with lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, sunny with a high of 89. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome back to APM's Symphony Cast. I'm Steve Seal. This week we're in London at the Royal Albert Hall for the 2024 BBC Proms, the largest and longest-running classical music festival in the world. For the second half of our program, the Halle Orchestra will perform the music of Mahler in what will be the valedictory Proms performance for its longtime conductor emeritus, Sir Mark Elder. Mahler's Symphony No. 5 is the work, and we'll hear from Maestro Elder on this special evening for him as he talks with the BBC's Martin Handley in a moment about this Mahler symphony. Now let's hand it back over to Martin in the BBC booth at the Proms as he is just about to speak with conductor Sir Mark Elder.
Welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall from me, Martin Handley, and to the second part of the Halle Orchestra's BBC Prom, in which tonight Mark bids farewell to the orchestra, at least as music director at the Proms, after some 25 years at the helm. And he bows out with a pretty extraordinary work, Mahler's Fifth Symphony. 1901 was a decisive year in Mahler's life. He met Alma Schindler, who was to become his wife, and he began this symphony. His first four symphonies all have connections with the popular 19th century collection of German folk poetry, this Knaben Wunderhorn, Youth's Magic Horn, which had so influenced him for 15 years. Symphonies 2 to 4 set Wunderhorn texts for voice. And then, in 1901, he seems to have decided that what he wanted to express through the word could be done effectively in orchestral songs. He would reserve symphonies for other absolute ideas and ideals, though they're still full of funeral marches, fanfares and dances, and still amazingly explicit in their emotional content. I asked Mark for his view about the journey Mahler takes in his Fifth Symphony.
It's written in three parts. He wrote the central part of this triptych first, the scherzo, that has such a charming and bucolic beginning and gets more and more diabolical as it goes on. And I think once he'd done that, he had to consider very profoundly how to make a whole thing. Now, of course, for Mahler, that was a different challenge than it would be for Sibelius, for instance, because he wanted it to take in anything that seemed right at the time. But the fact that he starts with this austere funeral march, apparently concerned with somebody very exalted in the society, perhaps one could say. But there's also such pain and anguish in the music that he needed the scherzo then to banish that anguish and pain. But then he just started a relationship with this extraordinary lady. And so he wrote this lovely, simple, slow movement as the preparation for a really fantastic, frenzied finale. Frenzied with happiness, with optimism, with joy.
And of course he uses forever a large orchestra, but it's used as a complex palette of colours, isn't it? This extraordinary way Mahler does.
He inhabits his own world, and he's got these instruments there to make different colours and to balance parts of the orchestra against other parts, and to also give him the volcanic power of his musical personality that is so unlike anyone else, that is so dramatic sometimes and so released in fury or in joy that you fear that it will overwhelm you. And this is a great symphony from that point of view. The satisfaction in it is enormous, and its demands on us all as performers, of course, is just as big.
Mark Elder, who said that with a real twinkle in his eye. I think he's looking forward to this very much. Well, the stage is full of his Halle Orchestra. The Halle choirs are still sitting up in the choir stalls. And here he comes. We're joining the orchestra on the Royal Albert Hall stage to conduct Mahler's Fifth Symphony.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That brass chorale we heard rather a long time ago in the stormy second movement, reappearing in its full glory, triumphant at last, as Mahler's Fifth Symphony ends in pure joy. It's been performed here in the Royal Albert Hall to end this BBC prom, live as always here on BBC Radio 3 for every concert in the season. The Halle Orchestra, led by Roberto Ruizzi, was conducted by Mark Elder. He sort of shook his head at the leader at the end, as if to say, "Crikey, you're good." He's gone off the stage, not a foot wrong, by the principal horn, Lawrence Rogers, who gets the stand up behind the rest of the section for his starring role in the Scherzo, of course. The protagonist changing masks in the lyrical jester part of the band. Back comes Mark Elder, looking slightly tired. I think he's just revelling in the response, actually. Gareth Small, principal trumpet, that terrifying start to the symphony, which was absolutely faultless. And all the trumpets brought to their feet. And the heavy brass, trombones and tuba. Mark's, I think, got quite a roster of people to bring up. And that is Lawrence Rogers and the whole horn section. Coupled with James McMillan's piece, they've had quite an evening, and all the woodwind. Not least principal oboe Stefan Rancourt. And the percussion and timpani, John Arbenstam.
Such a celebration of a marvelous orchestra from the audience at the Royal Albert Hall, and BBC presenter Martin Handley closing out this performance of the Halle Orchestra, led by Sir Mark Elder, for one final time here at the BBC Proms Festival in Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 5. Well, that's where we'll take it back from our friends at the BBC here on SymphonyCast. I'm Steve Seal, and that's going to conclude this week's concert from the BBC Proms Festival. But we'll be back for more next time and all summer long as this beloved annual festival continues in London. You can indeed enjoy this performance again at our website, but Proms concerts are available there for only a few short weeks. This concert featured the Halle Orchestra with music by Sir James McMillan and Gustav Mahler. To hear it again,
head to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. While on our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. In the remaining time, we'll hear one more performance featuring the Halle Orchestra, this time led by Stanisław Skrobaczewski. Here are the variations on a theme by Haydn by Johannes Brahms on SymphonyCast. Thank you.
Johannes Brahms' Variations on a Theme by Haydn. That performance featured the Halle Orchestra, led by Stanisław Skrovachevsky, on SymphonyCast. This week's SymphonyCast from the BBC Proms Festival featured the Halle Orchestra, performing music by James McMillan and Gustav Mahler. You can listen to this concert again from our website, the SymphonyCast page at yourclassical.org. While on the website, you can like us on Facebook and download free music. All of it is at yourclassical.org. APM's SymphonyCast is produced by Daniel Nass, with technical director Michael Osborne and assistance from Tania Major. I'm Steve Seal. We'll see you again next time on SymphonyCast. This is APM, American Public Media, bringing music to life.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. We hope you enjoyed this evening's broadcast of the BBC Proms. We'll bring you the next concert, this time next week, Friday at 7. Don't forget that you can listen to this concert from the BBC Proms for a limited time over at yourclassical.org/symphonycast. 30% chance of showers tonight in northeast and east central Kansas. Lows in the mid-60s, tomorrow sunny with a high of 89. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Vice President Kamala Harris is releasing a broad swath of proposals aimed at everything from price gouging of food at the grocery store to a shortage of available homes. During a campaign speech in North Carolina today, Harris said people think prices are still too high.
We all know that prices went up during the pandemic when the supply chains shut down and failed. But our supply chains have now improved, and prices are still too high. A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic.
The Democratic presidential candidate's proposals include a first-of-its-kind federal ban on price gouging of food and groceries, assistance incentives to build millions of new homes and help first-time home buyers, and child care subsidies, including an increase in the child tax care credit. Some of the proposals would require congressional approval. It's not clear how any of it would be paid for. Ceasefire talks for the war in Gaza have wrapped up in Doha, according to a statement put out by Qatari, Egyptian, and U.S. mediating officials. There is still not a final deal, but instead a proposal that, quote, narrows the gaps between Israel and Hamas. Bureau's Kat Lonsdorf has more from Tel Aviv.
Mediators have presented a proposal that they say can bridge the gaps between Israel and Hamas and finally allow for a ceasefire deal. They say this proposal is consistent with the plan announced by President Biden back in May. A technical team will work on the final details, including the hostage-prisoner exchange, in the coming week. And then the group says it will meet again in Cairo later next week in the hopes of reaching a final agreement. The statement ends, quote, "The path is now clear to achieve this outcome, to save lives, to bring relief to the people of Gaza, and to calm regional tensions." Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Lawyers for TikTok are asking a federal appeals court to overturn a law that could ban the app in the U.S. by January. As NPR's Bobby Allen reports, the Justice Department says TikTok's Chinese ownership makes the platform a security risk.
TikTok says the law that could shut down the app unless it sells to a non-Chinese buyer is, quote, "the most sweeping speech restriction in the country's history." Attorneys for TikTok say lawmakers are unfairly singling out the app and that there's no evidence the Chinese government is using it as a cyber weapon. The Justice Department says it has proof TikTok poses a legitimate national security threat, but the details are top secret. More than half of Americans use TikTok, but it could be forced to shutter unless the law President Biden signed in April is halted. TikTok and the Justice Department will argue the case before a federal appeals court in Washington in September. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Hurricane Ernesto continues to churn through the waters of the Atlantic. At last check, the storm was about 95 miles south-southwest of Bermuda, with maximum sustained winds of 100 miles an hour. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 96 points. This is NPR. Opposition leaders in Venezuela are calling for new demonstrations this weekend to protest last month's presidential election. Venezuela's authoritarian leader and his election officials say he won the race, but they have not yet released results despite international pressure. More from NPR's Carrie Kahn.
Opponents of President Nicolas Maduro have not held a major demonstration in weeks as the government has cracked down on dissent, arresting thousands. Leader of the opposition, Maria Corina Machado, posted on X that now is the time to show strength and called supporters to the streets and cities throughout Venezuela and around the world. She also rejected a proposal floated by leftist leaders and allies of Maduro in Brazil and Colombia to retake the July 28th election. She called such a proposal disrespectful. President Biden appeared to echo calls for a redo, but White House officials walked back any support, insisting the only way forward was for Maduro to, quote, come clean. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
Former President Donald Trump apparently owns both cryptocurrency in the amount of around $1 million and $250,000 in gold, along with his portfolio of golf courses and real estate. That's according to financial disclosures that were released today as part of Trump's Republican presidential bid. The more than 200 pages of paperwork provide a somewhat limited picture of Trump's assets. In accordance with federal law, most are within a range. The documents do not deal with the former president's business losses. Crude oil futures prices wound down the week to settle little changed, oil ending the session at $76.55 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Imaginable Futures, celebrating the hard work, commitment, and achievements of the 1 in 5 college students who are parents. More at imaginablefutures.com. This is NPR.
the I.O. Vilner Big Band and Vilner's arrangement of a Ray Bryant tune, Chicken and Dumplings, getting things off to a swinging start here on Jazz in the Night. The name of this album by the I.O. Vilner Big Band, new album called Swingin' Uptown, and they are definitely very much dedicated to big band swing music and do a real fine job all the way through this one. We've got some Latin jazz from the great pianist Eddie Palmieri coming your way in about 6-7 minutes here on Jazz in the Night, and some jazz organ next from Brian Ho, the San Francisco-based organist trio with Paul Ballenbach guitar and Byron Wookie Landham drums. The album's called Bridges, and a great tune by the bebop piano master Bud Powell. It's called John's Abbey here on KPR. Thank you. Organist Brian Ho on KPR, that bebop tune John's Abbey, written by pianist Bud Powell way back in the day. It's on a new album called Bridges, the Brian Ho Trio. The organist joined by guitarist Paul Ballenbach and drummer Byron Wookie Landrum. In about 15 minutes, we'll hear from the really fine new album, big band album by trumpeter Eddie and Charles. He calls it the Eddie and Charles Creole Orchestra. And we'll hear that orchestra with special guest singer Renee Marie in a quarter of an hour here on Kansas Public Radio. Right now, as promised, some great Latin jazz from Eddie Palmieri, who for decades, a key figure in Latin music. This is an album called Listen Here, which I think is just a masterpiece from 2005, and includes this version of Horace Silver tune, Nika's Dream. Eddie Palmieri and friends on Kansas Public Radio.